Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen us in our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, one of my cousins, when he was in his mid-20s, on a night that was about like yesterday for weather, a nice snowfall, was out playing football with some friends in the snow in a suburb north of Chicago, Illinois, Waukegan, Illinois. And it was probably about midnight or so, just out having some fun in the snow. And all of a sudden, a carload of teenagers pulled up, and about six young teenagers jumped out and ran up to them and surrounded my friend. He was much taller than them, but one of them held a knife to his face. And a couple others went around behind him. And as this young man stand there holding the knife to him, my cousin didn't want any trouble. And suddenly someone from the back punched him super hard in the back. And then they all took off, got in a car, and drove away. And my cousin thought, what was that all about? And his friends came over and trying to figure out, well, he felt behind him, and here he had been stabbed with a stiletto knife. And they took him to the hospital. It would come within a half inch of hitting his kidneys, would have killed him. He still has that scar on his back. It was a terrifying night. If you've ever had to suffer any kind of violence, it's not fun. If somebody's ever come up and beaten you up or done something like that, I nearly got pummeled one day when I was in high school, and I still remember the fear that I had. We typically don't associate violent activity with something good. But Jesus does. In our text today, Jesus is talking about the work of John the Baptist, and Jesus is actually encouraging you and me to be, of all things, violent, to take something by force. Listen to his words about John. Among those born of women, there's not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He's admiring John for something that's important to our violence, and that is he's admiring the fact that John was willing to stand up for and teach his truth, no matter what the consequences. And with that in front of us, when God's word is preached like that in front of us, he encourages us to be violent with it and to grab the kingdom of heaven violently. John's faithfulness to God's word ultimately landed him in prison and decapitated. When it comes to spiritual matters and your relationship to your God, and matters that pertain to where you will spend eternity after this life comes to an end, when it comes to issues that of having to face the very being that will determine where you or I go to spend that eternity, we think, as Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We want truth at that moment. But if you're like me, we're tempted to listen to lies. Lies are better. They're easier. They're better on the ears. They're nicer to hear. The lies of the devil in the world and even our own sinful hearts are much easier to listen to. Lies like, oh, come on, don't be living for something you've never seen. Think of all the good stuff you can live for in this life. Think of all the fun you can be having in this life. Why wait for something that's so far off that you've never seen before? Or lies like this, you're so young, why should you be concerned about dying? You got plenty of time to get ready for that. Decades, probably 60, 70, 80 years until you really have to be concerned about that. Or how about this one? Well, when you die someday, you going to heaven, that'll be an easy one, because think what a wonderful person you are. How great of a person you are. Think how many people are out there that think you're fantastic. God will reward you because of your own goodness. Those are the easy lies that are fun to listen to, and we like to fill our hearing with them according to our sinful human nature. There's an old saying, maybe you've heard this before. God created man in his own image, and man has returned the compliment. That people today, in other words, like to create the God that they want. You'll occasionally hear somebody say, well, that's not the God I believe in. The God I believe in is a God that I've kind of created to be what I want. A God that puts up with the things I like to do in my life. A God that's easy on everybody. A God that doesn't really have any judgment to him at all. That's the kind of God I want. And so that saying is true. Man has returned the compliment. We've tried to create a God in our day and age that fits us. And you can go to Barnes & Noble and there are rows and rows of books that'll tell you what you want to hear. That'll tell you all the stuff to fill your ears that will make you comfortable. And there are churches all over the country that are full of pastors and preachers that'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. But when it comes right down to it, none of that matters if it's not the truth. The truth is what we need to hear. That's the only thing that'll get us ready for that great day of judgment. And this is nothing new in the world. Even back in the Old Testament, there were times when people would come to the prophets and bribe them to change their message. Can you imagine? Bribing the pastor to change his message, to make his life more comfortable and more easy if he would just switch what God is saying so that they could also be more comfortable and their lives could go more easily. Now, Jesus contrasts that type of preacher with this great John the Baptist. He says, what did you go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Did you go out to listen to somebody, in other words, who just blows with whatever the wind of fashion is popular at that time, with whatever the whims of society is thinking at that time? If it doesn't like to hear this, well, we'll change the message. He says, what did you go out to hear? Did you go out to listen to a reed that was going to be blown around by the wind and shift and change? It's very tempting for us. A lot of people like that kind of a preacher. St. Paul says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. I remember one of my seminary professors used to talk about the story of Goldilocks and the three bears, and how Goldilocks goes into the empty house and she tries all the different beds. Well, this one's too hard, and this one's too soft, this one's just right. And that we can be tempted to look at our doctrine that way. We can be tempted to look at churches and preachers that way. Let's find one that makes us comfortable. That'll be what's best for us. Jesus says, no, we need to hear the truth. We need to hear the truth about ourselves and our condition to prepare us properly for his work and what he's come into the world to do and to accomplish for each one of us. Martin Luther referred to those kind of preachers as reed preachers. He said they're guided by the demands of society rather than the truth, and they bend to public opinion. Ultimately, that type of a preacher, Jesus says, will end up clothed in soft raiment, things that will make them wealthy because it's popular with the people. But the true preaching that Jesus wants us to gather around is that which will prepare our hearts honestly for his arrival. And that's the beautiful message of what he's come to do, that he has come into this world to take on human form to become your Savior, to pay for your sins, to live your life that you and I couldn't live, to be your righteousness, to be your redemption, to be your sanctification, to be your complete forgiveness, your grace, your hope of heaven. He's come to be your death. He's come into this world to be your life, your resurrection, and to give you his home in heaven. He left all of that and came down here so that you and I, by faith, could possess those very things. But in order to get to that, we need to know the truth about ourselves and what he's come to accomplish for us. But he wants us to get to the point in hearing his word where we say, I need that. I need that desperately. I gotta have that. Nothing else in my life is gonna matter. I need this. He wants you to grab it violently. I remember my dad reading this Bible passage when I was a kid at a devotion one night. And he used that phrase where Jesus says, the violent take heaven by force. And I remember him putting his fist up at the table and saying, that's an interesting passage. The violent take it by force. And I remembered being shocked as a kid. And he went on to explain what that meant, how faith should violently grab the word of God, the hope that we have in Christ, the glorious resurrection waiting for us. You need it. I need it. Grab it by faith. Hold on to it. I've known some pretty violent little women, old women, when it comes to that. I've known some violent little kids when it comes to that, who have violently grabbed the word of God and clung to it and hold on to it. So may God give you and me this same violent faith. May he stir up our hearts to forcefully grab and punch and kick and scream and hold on to his truth all the way through the gates of heaven. Amen. Please rise. The sad news today is that the children will not be with us. Their bus didn't make it. So we'll blame it on the bus company. So they won't be singing for us, sad to say. Let's hear a prayer. We'll join in prayer. Lord, we beseech you, give ear to our prayers and enlighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with our hymn.